It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you this morning. I actually started the broadcast a little early. There was a clock issue that I have, and it's a little early than I thought. So it's about 5:57, and the others will come on at 6. So we're going to wait for everyone to come on. But I want to invite you all to our service today. And that's at 12. We'll be talking about physiology from the Bible, the integumentary system, how you can learn more about Jesus through your skin. It's at 12, and you should receive on Facebook a invitation a little later. We'll be talking in our course, the school, about the skin on Sunday. That's just for students only. So you will be enhanced by that. And if you can't, because many people have their own church services to go to, we will post the video link probably on torso.org. Okay, we'll just probably post it on torso.org. So definitely after church, go and to torso.org, T-O-R-S-O-E, and check that out. All right, it's about 2 minutes to the top of the hour. We just are thankful we accidentally started a little early this morning, and we have to kind of wait for the folks to come on, and so just kind of sharing a little bit. It's been a real, real blessing to get prepared for the training school. We're just trying to prepare an army of workers who will have the same mind. You know, God has a system of healing. And that system of healing, we call it biblical wellness, also holistic wellness, and that's with a W, for Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole. You know, we have medical doctors that are in the allopathic system. We have doctors of osteopathy. We have naturopathic doctors. Why doesn't God have a health system? Well, he does. We just don't exalt it as such. So we're doing that by God's grace, and we are welcoming you to join us. All right, we'll just wait for the actual clock, for the clock to hit 6, and then I'll invite my wife to have our opening prayer. So we welcome you. Thank you. We have folks from Michigan. And we're glad that you're with us today. All right, it's 6 o'clock, and so we'll ask Sister Clemens, my wife, if she would have our opening prayer. She might be muted. There you go.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together on your holy Sabbath to be able to open up your word. We pray that your spirit would teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. And as always, we pray that we would grow in grace and wisdom as we draw nigh to you. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ. Give me a second. All right.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King.
Mention again that for our Sabbath service, we are having a special sermon, Physiology from the Bible. We'll be talking about the skin and the plan of redemption. That goes along with our training school. We'll be talking in our school about the skin. That's for students only on Sunday morning. So what we have today will be available for anyone, and it will be also posted on our website after the fact. So you can go to the website if you have to go to your own church service, or if you can't make it for some other reason, and just come to torso.org and look for that sermon. That's this today at 12 noon Eastern time. So just want to invite you, if you're free, to join us. All right, let's pray. Father, as we talk about Jesus Christ, our great high priest in Hebrews 12, we ask that you will please send your Holy Spirit to tabernacle with us and give us an understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrew people. Now, the Hebrew people, of course, were people who knew about the Old Testament, but they had lost the sight of Jesus. And so Paul the Apostle is bringing them back. And so this was important because we need to understand what Jesus is doing in the heavenly sanctuary. So that's beautiful. So as we're wrapping it up, I mean, we have the chapter 12 today and chapter 13 tomorrow. That ends the book of Hebrews. You see here that he's just emphasizing and reemphasizing the great work of Christ. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, who are the witnesses? Those who had righteousness by faith mentioned in Hebrews 11, okay? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, did you notice that it said, lay aside the weight and the sin? You see, everything that weighs you down is not necessarily listed as a sin. So God wants us to lay aside weights and sins. So there may be something you're doing. You might be doing a little too much of it, or you might be spending too much time, or it might be even sometimes helping people that don't want to help themselves. And that becomes a weight, and it keeps you from doing what you are called to do. Sometimes we take on too many offices in the church. They say 10% of the people do 90% of the work. That's been my experience. It's unfortunate. But the point being made is, more of us need to get involved. And sometimes people are not getting involved because you get involved and you do everything yourself. So we all have to watch out for that and make sure that we're giving others an opportunity and look for help, ask for help. You can't do it all. So these can be weights, and it can easily be set up. So let's pray, seek God on everything so that we're doing his will perfectly. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I like that because he authors it with justification, finishes it with sanctification, and finally we're glorified. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So why did Jesus do it? Because he saw ahead of him some joy. What is that joy? Spending time with you in eternity. He said, it's worth me dying on the cross, being wounded and bruised and despised and afflicted so that I could spend eternity with you in heaven. So that's what we need to have the mind. That's our mind, should be our mindset. Because of what we will gain to spend eternity with him, we're willing to go through anything. Friends, that includes even being looked upon as a little strange by our fellow men, because I don't mind being unpopular. I just want to be with Jesus, because when you are with Jesus, you're actually in the majority as far as the universe is concerned. This earth has the majority of rebellion, of rebellious people in it. So when we follow the ways of the world, yes, we might be in the majority on this earth. But friends, this earth is just a grain of sand in an ocean. I mean, on the shore of the ocean of planets that God has made. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, I don't know exactly what this means, but when I think about the contradiction, enduring the contradiction, you know, Jesus came and died for people who didn't even care. He died for everybody. Now, everybody's not going to accept his life and death and resurrection because they're not going to choose to follow Christ. They're going to choose the easy way. They're going to choose the popular way. They're going to choose to follow the crowd. But Jesus endured that contradiction. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So, brothers and sisters, it's going to dwell on this chastisement. God is trying to save us. And when we are in a position where we're not in his perfect will, he allows us to not be comfortable. He allows us to hear truth that, ugh, wish I didn't hear that. Why do you got to keep preaching that? He allows us to not always have the funding that we need. He allows us not to always have every prayer answered, okay, because he's trying to save us. And it's a chastening. You see, if God opened all the windows of heaven and blessed us and we weren't really fully committed, we would get comfortable in our sin. So God has to disturb that smooth current, because he's trying to save us. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So, friends, we are not to despise this chastening. When God doesn't allow everything to run so smoothly and everything just fall into place completely, ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be? To be led, you know, ask God. We don't pray enough. Ask God to help you in every circumstance. You know, we developed, with the help of the Lord, this textbook. There was a lot of prayer that went into this textbook. We asked God to show us how to make disease simple for the people, and he answered that prayer. And we're still growing and still learning how to improve that, friends. But the point being made is that God has to chasten us, to help us, to humble us, because we sometimes won't humble ourselves. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. But what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. This chastening comes to everybody. All of us have to be reminded, corrected, instructed, reproved. All of us. For we can all have that tendency to deviate from right principle. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God wants to make you holy. He wants to make you just like him. And when we're not just like him, he allows things to happen that are not smooth, that are disturbing, that are challenging to our walk, so that we might come crying to him and realize our need for him. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after, where it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I want to talk about bitterness a little bit. You know, sometimes we can have bitterness. Bitterness can be called resentment. Bitterness can be called bitterness. Bitterness can just be called, ugh, I don't like him. I don't like her. I don't like this about him or her. But we have to make sure we don't allow a root of bitterness. Now, notice the Bible calls it a root. Roots grow into trees. Trees grow into branches. Branches emit leaves and have fruit. So if you don't get rid of the bitterness in your heart, it's going to bear fruit. And that's what happens, brothers and sisters, in the church. That's what happens in marriages. We allow some bitterness, which is really unfounded, to creep up in our heart. And we try to suppress it. We try to suppress it in our own strength rather than just dealing with it, communicating, sharing what our feelings are, what we're uncomfortable with or whatever. And we don't. We just hold it in, and then, boom, something bad happens, and we blow up. And what we blow up about makes no sense. That's because we have a root of bitterness. That's what happens, brothers and sisters, in marriages. That's what happens in the church. That's what happens on the job often. So often what you see, brothers and sisters, when somebody loses it, that's not really the main point. That's not really the main cause. That's just a symptom of an underlying level of bitterness. Now, if you want to make sure you're not going to fall into that trap, you need to ask God to take away all bitterness from your heart and then do all you can. Sometimes there is somebody that's challenging and you're not happy with what somebody's doing. Talk to them. If they're offensive, go to them in a loving and kind way and say, look, there's something bothering me that I want to talk to you about. Now, if they just get mad and all that, and okay, well, you might have to go and get some help. But the point being made is often we don't even try the first step, and then we have issues with people and they're not even wrong. But you just might have a misunderstanding. We're all different. We all see things differently. And because we grow up and we see things differently, we come from different backgrounds, it's sometimes easy for us to maybe think somebody is not always doing something right, might have the wrong motive for whatever they're doing. And the reality is it's all in our imagination, brothers and sisters. And so God wants us to understand that we got to get rid of this root of bitterness. You might be bitter against the pastor. You might be bitter against the deacon. You might be bitter against your wife. You might be bitter against your former friend. Friends, let me tell you something. It does not work. You know, let me tell you, a lot of times when people do you wrong, you're tempted to get bitter. And don't get bitter, because if they did you wrong, God will deal with them, and they will not have peace while they are in the judgmental mindset that they have. And you can have peace of mind, friends. So that's what we want. Let's get rid of that root of bitterness. It says, let there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know, God mentions fornication because it is one of the strongest urges. He mentions really the two strongest urges that we have. Because Esau wanted a birthright, his appetite got the best of him. So our physical appetite, what we like to eat, and also sensuality, sexual desires, those are the two strongest urges that come upon a human being. And so they're mentioned here, but God is stronger than those things. He is, brothers and sisters, and your walk with God can be free from sin, and you can have victory over those urges that the devil brings upon people. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. So he's bringing them back to when the law was actually given. He said there's something greater than that. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Remember when God spoke his law, they said, you speak to us, Moses, we don't want to hear God, because it was a frightening. The earth was shaking. But God was trying to inspire them with this awe and wonder so they might realize the importance of following the truth and righteousness. See, we can just be complacent. Sometimes we got to be, you're not scared straight, but we have to be startled from the lethargy and the laziness that sometimes comes upon us and awaken, because Jesus is coming soon. God did that with the children of Israel by those manifestations around the time that he presented his law, that they might see how holy and solemn it was. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are coming to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So what God is doing to the Hebrews is he's trying to help them understand all these things you learned about with this earthly sanctuary. It was to point you to a heavenly sanctuary. And so we, in this time, brothers and sisters, our minds need to be focused on the heavenly sanctuary and what Jesus is doing. And what is he doing? He is doing the lovely work of an investigative judgment, which is a work necessary so that he can promise you, no, so he can keep his promise that iniquity shall not rise the second time. So he's going through the names of everybody. If you're a Baptist, that means you profess Christ. If you're a Methodist, that means you profess Christ. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, that means you profess Christ. He's going through the names of everybody, starting with Adam and Eve, all the way to the living. At one point, at some point, it either has already happened or it will happen. Some people believe the judgment of the living begins at the Sunday law. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying I don't have enough to definitively say that. But I will tell you that it will be soon, if it hasn't already started, where your name will be brought in review before God. And all God is doing is he's saying, okay, I've given you the gospel. I've given you all this truth. Have you accepted it? And if we say, if we have followed Christ with all of our hearts, you're destined to be saved. It's not hard to be saved, friends. It's called surrender. And we have to surrender and make sure that we are following Christ all the way. You will not be in heaven if we are violating any of God's principles, brothers and sisters, knowingly. Okay? So he gives us time so that we might know, and he presents them to us. So let's make sure we're not rebellious, friends. Sometimes, you know, you think of rebellious people as loud and belligerent. That's not the only way to be rebellious. There's this thing called passive rebellion. And we can be rebellious against the principles of God and be all nice about it. You know, but brothers and sisters, being nice about it is not going to get you into the kingdom. We who will get into the kingdom will have a full surrender to Jesus Christ. All of us must fully surrender to Jesus Christ. There's going to be a lot of Sabbath keepers who claim to be Sabbath keepers that are going to be lost, brothers and sisters, because they didn't surrender to God. So God wants us to surrender on every point. Yes, the world is coming to a great test of loyalty, but we must surrender on every point. You know, some people point fingers at people because they aren't keeping the Sabbath, and those people are fornicating. You know, they're pointing fingers at people who aren't keeping the Sabbath, but they're all proud and arrogant and not kind to people. Okay, so every principle of heaven, friends, must be followed, and God will bless us. Unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, seeing that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Wow, shaking heaven. Yeah, he's shaking heaven because it's going to be blotted out. All the sin of the record books is going to be blotted out of the faithful. And the word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You see, your name is going to be retained. It's not going to be shaken if you've given your heart to God. That's what Jesus is doing in the most holy place. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace therefore, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Friends, I like that last verse. Our God is a consuming fire. God's fire is going to consume sin. He does not want to consume sinners. But when we don't give up sin, we become identified with it. So when the fire goes out from God to destroy sin, we get burnt up too because we wouldn't let it go. So friends, let it go. Just let it go. It's not that important that we hold on to the things that we've held on to for all these years. Let it go. It's not worth losing your salvation over. Let it go. Whatever it is, God will reveal that to you, whatever your problem is. And we all have different challenges and problems. Let it go. It's not worth losing out your salvation, losing your salvation over something to eat, something to wear, something, somebody to be with, okay? It's just not worth it. Let it go. I want Jesus. How about you, friend? Amen. Well, we're going to close out with this, friends, and we invite you to join us on tomorrow. Join us later today at 12, where we will be talking about the physiology from the Bible using the skin. And this is a wonderful introduction. It's open to everybody. The training school starts on the next class lesson starts on tomorrow. And having this under your belt, you'll appreciate tomorrow's and understand tomorrow's lesson even better. All right, friends, God is good. Why don't we just go ahead and do a prayer, roll call, and then close out today. And let's do that. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for teaching us that you are a consuming fire, that you chasten your people, that Jesus in heaven is doing the work that is shaking the heavens of the sins, the records of those who are faithful, retaining the names of the faithful. Help us, Lord, that we will be found faithful in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, let's do roll call. Then I'll ask my wife if she will repeat the fourth commandment for us. We have on Facebook, Virginia, Maryland. Not so sure where my dear one is. I'm thinking this is the Philippines. We have North Carolina, and we have South Carolina. We have on the call Ohio, Maryland, Delaware, and Delaware. We have actually Delaware again, and we have Ohio. I'm sorry, that's Iowa, I should have said. We have Michigan, and we have Georgia. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Thank you for joining us. The next Sabbath service at 12 is on Zoom. You don't want to miss it. And so if you don't get that because it's sent WhatsApp and on Facebook, reach out to me, send me a text, and I'll text you the link. That's our regular link that's open to everyone. All right, friends, it's time for our closing out with the fourth commandment on this Sabbath day. If Sister Clemens is available, my wife I dreamed of, we'd like her to repeat the fourth commandment for us.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.